Blog Talk Radio.
You always got to wait for that Blog Talk Radio. Hi, welcome. This is the Consciousness Chef with Gwen and Nicole. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Gwen. Hi, everyone.
How you doing? Tonight, our guests are the Sisters of the Earth and Sea, and we'll bring them on for you just after we do our opening, which I found the clip, Nick, that I just thought, oh, my God, in a nutshell, the goddess speaks through Oprah and Shirley MacLaine here, and I thought I'd play it for us because there's a lot of clarity for folks who listen in. Anyways, let's go with it.
There's been no holding back on the avalanche of despair. And you talk about the weather, and you talk about the news on TV, and you talk about the rudeness of so many young people, and nobody communicating with each other. This whole thing, I was thinking this the other day, what's going to happen 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, when the generation of children who are brought up not really speaking, but just sort of on their texting, their mobile units, what's going to happen to us as a species? Well, how do you think?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me get into a very condensed version of 2012. Okay. We're coming into an alignment. You all have heard about 2012, right? No, but it's not like that movie. There is an alignment occurring, and it is the first time in 36,000 years, I'm sorry, that this has occurred. Now, what does that mean? If you have an alignment where this solar system is on direct alignment with the center of the galaxy, that carries with it a very profound electromagnetic frequency, vibration, and gravitational pull, hence the weather. What does that do to consciousness? What does that do to our sense of reality? I know everyone is feeling this sense of speed, and they don't know what to do about it. Is that true? Are you all feeling that? Okay. I have a feeling, can't prove any of this, that the karmic drama of the laws of cause and effect,
mm-hmm.
what you put out, you get back.
Okay.
You do know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which is the greatest spiritual law, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
That is my mantra for life. The third law of motion, it's physics. What you put out for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Right.
So if I was to say, what is the foundation of my religious belief?
Yeah.
That is it.
Right.
That is it. Which is the same as do unto others as you would have them back to you. But what it really means is, what you do unto others is already done.
Yeah.
Because it's coming back whether you believe it or not. It doesn't require your belief.
Right.
Yeah. At the end of the 26,000 years, which is December 21st, 2012, that's the end of that. It is possible that we could be on the threshold of a new beginning. And I think what this pressure, this kind of psychic spiritual pressure we're all feeling is about, is that if your internal soul is telling you get your act together. And that's why the weather is challenging you to do it. Technology is challenging you to do it. Poverty is challenging you to do it. Anything to do with losing your home is challenging you to understand who you are and who you're not.
Isn't it the truth, though, that everything, every life experience that occurs is there for the benefit of your awakening if you choose to see it? Everything is happening to choose you to awaken to your true self.
The thing is, though, hurry up and choose it. Hurry up and get the message.
Absolutely.
Hurry up and get the message. We'll be back with Shirley MacLaine. Back.
Around you, and you will see.
you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star. You'll feel parts of every mountain, sea and shore, and you can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. But on that clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever, ever more.
That our clip with Shirley and Oprah was just garbled.
Yeah, I couldn't hear so much what they were saying. I like the spirit of it.
Yeah, basically in a nutshell, they were saying, you know, it's about getting your karma updated and getting your act together, realizing that we are what we think in the moment, and creating our reality is basically the lesson of this time and space. I thought they did a really good job. Too bad that it got all crunched up. I guess when I uploaded it, something happened. As I said, our guests this evening are the Sisters of the Earth and Sea. And I will bring them on. I hope this is them holding for about 8 minutes there. Anyways, let me open the mics. Ladies, are you with us?
Yes, we are.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well,
hi, ladies.
Doing?
Harrison?
I'm sorry?
Just wondered if you could hear us.
I can hear you, yes. And I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Joyce, and I'm Sister C.
And I'm Lori, and I'm Sister Earth.
And how are you?
We're doing good. Fine. I called you yesterday, didn't give you much time, generally speaking, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to take the mic, as it were, and talk about what you've been up to and the changes for Earth and Sea, for Lori and Joyce, just sort of like a open mic. Go ahead and talk to me. Tell me what's going on.
Well, we decided after 7 years of having a sticks and bricks store that we really wanted to move a little bit more in our spiritual realm. And to do that, we kind of needed to give up the dollars and cents at the moment. And so we decided, like I said, we did it. We closed it 7 years to the day. And we had beautiful, wonderful customers, met fantastic people. Oh, yeah, you too, Gwen. And just the journey was fantastic. But we wanted to take it a step further in our own spiritual enlightenment. We were already ordained as ministers. And so over this time, we've kind of delved into that. We've developed a Crystal Vision Ministry. We hold a monthly meeting. Very open. Our last month's group meeting was about divination, and it just kind of really spanned the whole concept that you can think about divination on. And,
okay.
And we are in the process of developing our own oracle cards, and we've written a couple of books. They are not out yet, so that's just something that we're working on for our, you know, future path.
Wow.
Well, what would you like to talk about? Your oracle cards, or this is your format for public speaking, darling?
Oh, okay. Well, we want people to know that don't ever stop learning and don't ever stop growing. That is our biggest thing, because when we opened our store, we thought we had the answers. And now we realize all we got is more questions, too. So we are searching out more people to talk to and more things to do. And any of the listeners out there that are familiar with us, we are elementalists. And our oracle deck is going to kind of be set in nature. You know, we're using nature as our guide for our oracle deck. Pretty happy with that. I want to let Lori tell you a little bit about one of the books we're working on right now. Here's Lori.
Okay.
We're also working on a book, and it's about empaths and how to handle, you know, how to be an empath, basically. And it's going to be out hopefully at the beginning of next year, so keep your fingers crossed. And so we've been doing the book. And the cards. We got a couple other books and a couple other sets of cards in our head, too.
Well, a book on being an empath, what kind of an introduction do you give to being an empath? In other words, are you describing, you know, is it a how-to book or a book about realizing your empathy as a gift, or what is your message within it?
Actually, that's a really good question, because I do like the fact that in this book we do show you that this is a gift, not a curse. But we also go into the fact of the scientific. Hello, you know, Joyce is the science one and I'm the emotion one. So we wrote it together, because I am the empath. So I put all the emotions in, and when you read it, you kind of laughed because it was all emotions. So then Joyce went and took it and started putting all the reasons why I'm saying what I'm saying. So it turned out to be a very well-rounded book. I guess when you put earth and water together, you get mud. And by God, we got a good mud book. But, it is about just what if you know you're an empath. How you feel, how you can protect yourself, how you can learn your abilities, make them into a gift.
Can you define for us what an empath is? Tell us what an empath is.
Well, an empath happens to take on everybody else's emotions. Sometimes they take on feelings. Sometimes they take on health issues. But in my case, it's emotions, completely emotions. I read everybody's emotions, including the spirit world emotions. So if I'm reading somebody, I have to be very careful, because I actually get emotions of their loved ones too. So I have to kind of recognize what is my emotions and what are their emotions, and learning to decipher them and picking them up and taking them and moving them forward to help the person themselves. Making them worse.
Okay. Do you talk about how personal empathy right now might be part of the overall transition of humanity at this point?
Yes.
In other words, when we feel empathy for so many of the situations across the planet right now, are we transmuting, is that part of your book, how we're transmuting through empathy right now, a lot of the emotions of humanity as a species?
That's a very good point, because actually my book touches on that towards the end, but not at the beginning, because I have to let people understand why they're feeling the way they are and why they're acting the way they are. And once they understand who they are, because empaths are true empaths are different than empathic people, if that makes any sense. Probably not.
Well, can you, of course, can you tell us the difference between empathic folks and a true empath? How would someone know?
Empathic people feel the sorrow, like 9/11, they feel the sorrow of the hunger in the world. Empathic people feel the joy at their daughter's wedding. Empathic people just feel the emotions, the correct emotions at the correct time. Whereas an empath cannot decipher the emotions. It's emotions coming through to them like floodwaters. And sometimes they don't know if this is a good emotion or a bad emotion, because they're still a human being, and so they're taking all these emotions coming to them and trying to make sense and making them their own emotions. So when something horrific happens, like Katrina, for instance, when that horrific thing happened, everybody was an empathic person at that point. But a person who's an empath felt this before it even happened. And they went on overload on something like this. I know it's kind of hard to explain without actually reading you the book. How's that? But there is a difference, because empathic people feel. And you're right. There are more people feeling right now in humanity, and I agree with you 100%. They're feeling more than they did before because of the transition. But the empath people have to learn that the reason that they have their gift is to literally help people through the transition.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's cool.
Can't be offense, and I know I didn't. So it still makes so much sense when I write it down in the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I find it really helpful, because when I was 13, you know, I had this draw towards psychic. That's really the only word that was out there. And I got a book called You Are Psychic, and it was a good book. I mean, it told a little bit about how to read auras, how to do this, how to do that. But I would have loved to have had a book like that, because there is that, you need that explanation for, okay, well, just learning how to decipher what are your own emotions and what are somebody else's. I think people aren't really used to, like, thinking about, you know, I feel it, I feel it. And it's like, okay, well, how do you decipher your own from someone else's? That's such a huge tool.
It is, and it's a very hard thing until you realize who you are, because you don't know you're doing it.
Right.
You don't know it. You take these emotions on. For instance, you can be sitting in a bar having a good time with your husband, just enjoying everything, and somebody sits down beside you that is having the worst day of their life, and you don't even know who these people are, but you're starting to pick up that anger, and you're starting to pick up this weird feeling, and now all of a sudden you take that into you, and you're thinking, so what the hell did my husband just say to me? Why am I mad at my husband? Because that's what first reaction would to be mad at my husband, because obviously he must have said something to make me feel this way.
Right.
Because I didn't know the other person from, you know, Adam. I don't know this other person, but I felt his emotion.
I think a lot of people have been that have been waking up and working with light energy for so many years have been experiencing, that's the first thing they begin to experience, is the ability to empathize and pick up without realizing that example that you give of sitting down next to somebody and picking up all of a sudden emotions. I can remember Asa actually using that exactly in a class he was giving on how to awaken your psychic abilities.
How is Asa anyway?
He's very good. He's
okay,
very
cool.
Good.
We do miss
Asa. I also want to tell you that we have some people in the chat room, and Becky from Colorado Springs is in there, and she wants you all to know that she misses you. And,
oh, hello, Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Miss you, too. Hope you're having fun in Colorado.
She wants to know, how important do you think that we, everyone, raise our vibrations from our base chakras to our heart chakras in relation to this December? And I think she's talking about the alignment with our sun and the center of the galaxy.
Oh, girlfriend, this is what we're doing right now. This is what we're all about right now, is we are working. We are working in the Akashic Records. We are working through the masters. We are getting information on how to prepare ourselves for what's coming, but also what's actually coming. And if you go to our blog, you will find out that we are now in the midst of doing record readings through the land. And I know people go, what? You can't do record readings through the land, but yes, you can. The records have masters also. The land does. So when we went in to talk about the land, we thought we were going in just to get a memory lane of what the land had gone through from the beginning till now, which we did get great, awesome information on that. But then they started talking to us about humanity, and it was more of a universal message that we had to start giving out. Hence where we started doing our blog on Wisdom of Ages, the Akashic Record readings, because they're giving us lots and lots of information, and one of them was actually December 21st, 2012. They said it's just the beginning of a new cycle. And we asked what the cycle was, and they said, you know how a year has four seasons? Well, a cycle, a Mayan calendar, can be considered one of the seasons of the cycle. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm taking over, and I don't know why. This is Joy. what it was telling us was that, like, everything and everyone has a season of your life. As us women, we recognize ours very clearly, mother, maiden, crone. The earth recognizes seasonals, spring, summer, fall, and winter. Now, the Mayan calendar also recognizes a season as well. And so if we start the Mayan calendar on, say, December 21st, and we go for, 36,000 years, sorry, I stumbled on it, that takes us to our next season. So it's spring now. And then we can go 36,000 years again, and now we're at summer, and we can go 36,000 years again, and now we're at fall, et cetera, et cetera. That's the way it is. So this is the end of one of their seasons.
Are you sure you're not talking about a 26,000-year great cycle of the, you know, of us traveling, our solar system traveling around through all the constellations and the center of the galaxy? That's what the Mayan calendar.
I'm sorry, it was 26.
I apologize, yes. I said 36.
She's giving me the wrong number because she had to feed it to me because I didn't have it written down in front of me. I do apologize on the number I gave you. It is 26.
I'm doing on the side.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate that. But it is a new cycle. So now, what are we going to find in this cycle? A new season.
Awareness.
And I'm giving you what we're just more picking up, and what many, many people on the planet are picking up. It is an awareness of a higher self, of a higher way of living, of a higher way of being. And do I believe the Earth is going to go kaboom and end? Hope not. Well, unless they want to pay my credit cards that are due in 2013. But it is just a new way of being, a new way of alignment for ourselves, and the people that don't change could get just really lost and may not be able to progress and get stuck, like stuck in the mud, and just not... Go ahead.
So what you're talking about is the ascension of consciousness, the planetary awakening, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And
I know
so
you were talking about moving up toward the heart chakra, but we need to make sure that as this is in alignment with the center of our universe, we need to totally align our chakra all the way through the crown and realize that the crown isn't the end of our chakra system. Grow from your total root all the way through.
Are you talking about the 12 chakras or just the 7 chakras that are associated?
I'm only talking about the 12 chakras or the 7 chakras that more people are familiar with, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just wanting to say from, you know, that 7th chakra, let number 7 go and say in, you know, let it go on infinity.
You're saying stay in the heart center.
No, not really. I don't want to stay in the heart center. Take that heart center and throw it straight to the center of the universe.
Okay.
If you can imagine the essence, the energy coming from the starting underneath us and running through our root chakra and running up through our sacral and our heart, and then we're going to do our throat and our head and our spirit, our third eye and our spirit chakra, and we'll just keep it going. Just keep that energy going.
Through all 12 chakras, the chakras, the out-of-body chakras, the higher chakras.
Absolutely. But more than 12. Put an infinity sign at the end of it.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. You're saying that there's more than just 12.
If you want to align with what we're doing, what we as the human race and as aligning with the universe, yeah, don't put a number on it.
Oh, well, I did this year, but okay. I very much did, but that's okay.
Yeah, don't put a number on it. Let it go to infinity. Use that little sideways 8 and call it infinity.
Well, I see what you're saying. You're saying that it's an eternal, or that you're talking about eternity. But with people working specifically with light energy and exercises and such, do you use the higher chakras, or do you just use the lower chakras and on out into a light energy stream?
Okay, well, I will tell you in our own we do both yoga and water exercises, you know, for our exercises, so to speak, and we just send it all the way out. We don't internalize it. We start to internalize when we start, but then we just send it straight out and let it flow as long as it can flow. And what you get back is just, to me, when you're doing your quote-unquote cool down, you're getting all this extra energy back. that you've, you know, you've put forth so much, but you get so much more back if you don't see it ever ending.
When I work with
kind of how people describe the 12th chakra.
Exactly what I was just about to say. When I work with the 12th chakra, it feels like the door to infinity. So,
yeah.
So that's the doors that we are opening, and that we as light beings, and I'm sure you, we want to keep those doors open. We want to get them open and keep them open.
Yeah.
That is the quest, I believe, to making this right and making this adjustment to the new cycle, the new season that will make us all be able to move forward. And a lot of that is what, and we've starting to see a lot of resonation in the Akashic Records where our information is so much more readily accessible for us. It's getting written quicker and faster, and just it is happening
right now.
It's like the minute it's written, we get the information as opposed to having to wait on it or get it later or work on it harder. It seems to be coming faster and faster.
So the Akashic information that you're getting, is this information that you can share with the audience, or, you know, do you have anything to tell us about what we need to know about this upcoming?
Yes, and I'm going to give that over to Lori so I can go get a drink of water. Okay.
She actually wants to drink wine. But here's the thing. I have a very good friend of ours. Her name is Kathy Monaghan. And she is also an Akashic Record reader, and her website is toknowyourself.com. And we have, the three of us, gotten together and been doing these readings. And like I said, it started out on the land, just finding out memory lanes, you know, who the My Lady was, who the shaman is, what our past lives were here on the land. We got all that information. But then they just started going beyond, and they started giving us universal answers, which we were kind of surprised at, because you don't get that really when you go into your own personal ones. They kind of make you work for it, but the land was just saying, oh, no, here, let me tell you about this. No, let me tell you about this. So we started writing it down, and we've had two full sessions, and we've got a couple more that we are actually going to do, because you can only absorb so much of this information without kind of having to, you need to wrap your brain around some of it. But when they were talking about the cycles, and when I first got into the records, when we first opened them, Kathy opened them for me because it was my land. And the first thing they said was, welcome back. This is your fifth cycle here on this particular land right here, which was kind of weird, because that's when we started going, well, what the heck is a cycle? And they used the Mayan calendar as a reference as to the seasons and the cycles. But they said it's constant change. It's always transition. Nothing can ever die because it can only be transformed into other forms of energy. It will never die. Nothing can ever die. So
right.
We got that part. But now I would like to turn this over to Kathy a little bit, because she's kind of chomping at the bits, and she got a little bit more that she would like to add to this. So here is Kathy.
Yeah, she just thinks I wanted to talk. Hi, this is Kathy Monaghan.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
So the cycles that we were talking about had to do with there to be no fear and, like, the end of the world is coming. So that's why they were giving it, like, cycles, and that this alignment that's coming up is nothing more than, like, a change of a year, only on a much bigger scale. So it would be like saying, January 1 is the end of a year or the beginning of a year, but yet we're in the middle of winter. So part of the process that's going on is more of the date is more of a just a line, but it's in the middle of a season, and it's all cyclical. So they're saying we're growing. So I got the sense of this being like spring, and we're doing growing. So this is our growing season, if you will. So spiritually, we're all growing. It's as if the energy is coming in, similar to the way energy would come in to feed the plants in the winter for the seeds to come up and start growing. So that's where we are right now. We're in a very fast growth cycle. That's why things will start manifesting quicker.
So let me ask a question so I can get some clarity in cycles and growth. We're not really in spring. We're in the winter where the ground is being prepared for the spring, or we're in the spring?
They weren't actually talking one way or the other, but I will tell you from my perception right now, it just feels as if we're in the spring or entering the spring. So we're blooming, and there's some early bloomers that are starting now, just like in the, you know, in your own garden, there's things that start springing up earlier, and there's some things that come later. So there, it seems to me, and this is my interpretation, that we're probably in the beginning of the spring because there's things that are popping. Or maybe it's just the seeds that are germinating. It's kind of hard to tell, but things are popping. And just as there is no one particular date in the spring or summer when you say it's done, that's the part they were trying to say. The energy is coming in. Certain beings are going to be blooming, if you will, but will bloom at different times. It's not like everything's going to all of a sudden bloom or happen on the alignment date.
No. Okay. Well, do you have any correlation to all of the issues and all of, because it's hard not to notice that the accelerated time and the acceleration of issues between people and turning back to values and humane living, and I would say this is evident in like the rebellions that are going on across the planet, including the one going on here in our own country with the occupiers and people waking up to the fact that we're being, you know, led around by the nose for profiteering for people on one side and the rest go to, you know, I was just going to say something that really didn't make sense in this context, but you've realized where I'm coming from. Is there anything that aligns and correlates to that, the movement of humanity towards that critical mass that it takes to bring a planetary consciousness outside of the one we already have on the Internet?
Yeah, so an analogy that comes to mind for that one, if we want to talk about the spring and the seasons and the seeds growing, it's all whatever it is that gets it to germinate or gets it to wake up. So maybe this is like tilling the soil. So all the controversy and the conflict that's going on is whatever it is, it's the stimulus that's necessary to get people to wake up. So all these what might be perceived as negative things or conflicts that are going on are really nothing more than wake-up tools. And or if you look at it, maybe it's the tending or
tattling.
But not all seeds will germinate.
Yeah, not all seeds will germinate, and that's perfectly okay. That was one of the things they said. Don't worry about trying to make sure all the seeds will germinate. They don't have to. It's okay.
So these things are just part of a process.
Exactly.
Catalyzing the part of a process that's taking place.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's like this, again, the spring is the analogy, is that the sun is coming in, it's getting warmer, the season is changing, and things are starting to pop, whatever that is. So it's like the energy coming in is causing things to happen. In this case, it's causing what we might call turmoil. And I would suspect underneath the ground when the seeds are all trying to pop up and germinate, there's probably a little fight over territory, you know, but it's a turmoil. But a lot of that is just about getting people to wake up. And possibly some people here might be acting as stimulus here on purpose. So some of the people we might think of as the, quote, bad guys could be here on purpose to wake us up, prod us awake.
They're the catalyst for evolution.
Yeah, the catalyst for change, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that before. It's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like the stimulus that makes it grow. Like, what is it really in nature that makes something grow? I don't know. The sun coming in, the warmth, the change in the season. And somehow it's as if this galactic alignment is the energy we're needing to make this change. And so it's just an evolutionary change in this time, like we would think of spring coming. The sun is getting warmer. It's just an energy type of thing coming in.
So is there anything that's being, you know, that's coming up or being said about, well, we're really at a precipice right now environmentally. The health of the planet is at stake pretty grievously, and I'm wondering if there's any part of that in the information that's coming through right now.
Yeah, I'm not getting that. I'm not getting that the Earth is asking for help. I'm not getting any of that. But it could be, those could be the things that wake some people up. So those people that are sensitive to the Earth or sensitive to what's going on, seeing that things aren't going as well as they might like it, maybe what's waking them up to paying attention. So I think all these things are things that are just waking us up.
Okay, so you see them as just evolutionary catalysts for the overall shift and change of the planet and the species.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
I know these things are getting big, and I have one in my mind I want to talk about, but I don't even know where to start the stage on that one, and that's the ice water.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I don't know that I can even talk about it. When they were talking about transitioning, one of the examples they gave us, I don't even know if I want to, how to set the context for this.
Oh, it was the tree dying.
Yeah, it was the tree dying, and we were worrying about the tree dying, and we were talking about cycles and how things like the tree would just go back to Earth. And then the example they gave about cycles have to do with ice. Like right now we're solid. We're like, an example might be ice as an example for us. And then we can melt into water. Like ice can melt into water. So this transition is like us flowing into water. And then that water could change into steam and go up, if you will. But it's still all the same, whatever.
H2O.
It's still H2O. Like we're thinking there's going to be this big change and we're not going to understand ourselves or something. And they were trying to give it to us like it's no different than ice changing into water, which could change into steam. And there's nothing necessarily right, wrong, higher, lower, better than any of those. Those are just different transitional states.
Wow.
Okay. I'm really trying to get a handle on that. Would that mean that the...
We did too.
I took us a while.
I'm a very active imagination, ladies. I could see the ice melting as a transition from the body to pure consciousness and from pure consciousness to another level from all of what was said. So I wanted to get a better handle on it. You follow?
Yeah, I got it. I got it. When they gave us that one, it was a very interesting one because we all went, oh. But I can't tell you any more about it other than, like, oh. But I still can't, like, I don't even explain what my oh means. It's like, yeah, that sort of makes sense, but don't ask me to explain it any more than what I just said.
It does make sense. It's really, it's helpful because I've been feeling a lot of this energy, and I've been feeling more emotions that I might be mine somewhere, maybe not, I'm not sure, so I'm learning how to transmute that, but I've been finding that a lot of times I feel like I want to get up and out, and I want to get this up, like I think of myself as, you know, to go up, to grow, but yet the message I always get for that, because that comes with kind of, I don't know, a feeling of like reaching, or sometimes it feels kind of like an anxiety, like a heart palpitation. And the message I keep getting for that is, no, actually, it's more being in yourself. It's not really being up or up and out. That's why I would have that feeling. So the visualization of going from ice into water, it goes right along with the feeling that instead of, you know, trying to, I guess, go from ice into steam is to relax into being water and letting it flow and take its space instead of being a block.
Exactly. And something that just occurred to me when we were talking about this that hadn't occurred before had to do with the water and emotion seeming the same thing. And here we were talking about empathic things and how people are feeling their emotions more. So I don't know, maybe we're going from ice to water already as we're melting our preconceived ideas. The other thing that came up that I'll just kind of add to this, because I know we're going to end up at the end here at some point, but I want to another analogy that they were giving us had to do with like sands in an hourglass. And if you think of the sand in an hourglass as all pieces of you in different parts of time, so all your prior lives, your history, whatever it is, all happening at once, all funneling up or down, whichever way you want to look at it, into the apex of that hourglass. So like you're all coming together. So this is us clearing ourselves. This is us resolving any old past issues, any old whatever, and it's kind of aiming toward this apex of the hourglass. And you could think of that as your December 21st if you want, but they never actually say there's an exact time. It's just we're kind of all flowing in toward this time. And what they really wanted to make clear to us is at that time, once you've hit that apex, whatever that is, you have a choice of where you want to go. So I'm going to go back to you talking about the feeling that you want to go up or out or whatever. It could be you wanting to go home, wherever home is for you or whatever's next for you. So I think we're all being pulled to whatever that next thing is. We just don't understand it yet. And at some point we'll come to a oneness of some sort. And at that point be able to make a decision. Now, does that all happen at December 21st, I don't think so. I think it's all different for all of us, which is why they kept giving the seasonal analogy, because different plants pop at different times, and we're going to all pop and do whatever it is. But they were real big about it being a choice, that when all this comes together and you get to this, we'll call it an apex, you'll have a choice of where you're wanting to go, and then you could flow to your home or, I don't know, steam away to your home or whatever it is. This is the part that we're still kind of working on. I'm not sure I can fill in the details much more on that one. Does that bring up any questions?
Well, your apex, your hourglass analogy is about the, I don't know, I think I'd have to say the fourth show in a row here where we've spoken of fusion anomalies or black hole kind of analogies, because an hourglass is actually the perfect description of a black hole, how its dynamic is, and the black hole is the center of our galaxy that we're coming into an alignment with. So I think there's some, magnetism there.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how all the same information starts coming out and we're all saying it in different ways? And so to me there's a lot of interesting information coming in that's similar that we're all receiving in different ways that are all trying to tell us the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Analogy.
Yes. Yeah.
But the main thing I know that I keep getting is it's like a sense of going home and you get to choose wherever that is. So we are now at a choice point, like this time period, whatever you want to call it, this cycle or whatever, is coming to a choice point, and you're going to get to choose, like, whatever's next. And the word home keeps coming up for me, but that's probably just a feeling state of whatever that next place is. Yeah, it's a
that
home, wherever that
space.
Home.
Home could be here.
Yeah.
That's
a choice. That the word home keeps coming up for a lot of people. So I believe, if Earth is home, then that's home. If Earth is on, or if your home is on some distant planet, that's your home, whether it's Pallades or any other, or at the Creator home, or wherever. But home seems to be coming up a lot for everybody.
Home, how about home being you?
I agree with you there, Gwen. That's a great one. That is actually maybe absolutely true, because when Kathy used the hourglass symbology, it is to me, when we get to that apex, it is us coming into ourselves, and gee, when we do come to ourselves, I think we are home.
Well, I think that's one of the lessons we're learning here, with look at how many people are being forced into a situation of questioning what really home is. We're redefining home right now on the level of physicality as well as spiritually, and I mean, we've, as a species, it's pretty, you know, apparent that all of this catalyzing turmoil that's going on, one of the central issues in it is home and safety and being happy and healthy and, you know, at what we consider being at home. And that would be maybe within ourselves fully.
Okay, and this did come up, and I'm going to let Kathy talk about it because she's very much better at it. But it's about being the child, then you're being the teen, and then you're being the adult. But I'm going to let Kathy elaborate on that.
Actually, there's two things that come to my mind on that one. I'm not sure which one they're thinking about. But when we were, yeah, it's a little different than the home one, but I'm going to keep going with this analogy since they brought it up here. The when we were talking about the sand coming in and you're coming to that one, whatever that is, which we'll call home or ourselves or whatever, the soul, whoever, whatever you want to call that, the each aspect of yourself, because part of this was happening when we were getting Joyce and there was, she was a dead tree. She was a whole bunch of different other things and a bunch of different lives, shaman and who knows what all else. And that's all part of you, like all these grains or sands are part of you, no different than your child is still part of you, like who you were as a child is still part of you. So who you were
yeah.
as a child, who you were as a teenager, that's not who you are now, but that's also, but is it? Like the child is still you, just
yes.
similar to a past life is still you, but it's all about reconciling that all together. And maybe that's what we're talking about as home, is the child in you, the teenager in you, the adult in you, all those past lives or whatever else you've been carrying with you, all being one and recognizing it as one, which I got to think that probably feels like home.
Well, that's also, you're describing the inner shield, you know, the inner warrior, the inner nurturer, the inner child, and the inner soul, the absolute holder of all of it.
It's like all aspects of yourself, wherever they're coming from, all aspects of yourself, all combining into one. And it just feels like when they keep telling us that, that when we get to this apex or whatever all that is, it's like sand rolling in to the hourglass. Once you get to that point where all of that is one, then there's a choice and free will of wherever that is that's next. And I got to think, I'm hoping, that that's a really easy decision when all that comes together.
It seems like it should be.
You'd think so once you got all your pieces of yourself together. And it feels like that this doesn't happen except for, like, during this time in the cycle. Like, where we are in this bigger cycle, that's the time when all this happens. And it kind of feels to me like game over, reset, where do you go next? You know, next game, reset, next game. And you're going to know what
well,
that is at that time.
There can be no doubt we're at some sort of evolutionary precipice. A 26,000-year journey is got to be a reboot of some kind.
Right, and then you're carrying over to whatever's next and however that's working.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're,
years ago.
And, you know, who knows? You know, I could have, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, I could have told you analogies that seemed like that was the all of it, and then now we're getting more information, and I suspect even a week from now, a month from now, especially by the end of the year, so much more information is going to be coming in that it'll be sort of obvious. Like, things are happening fast.
And everybody can kind of keep up with what we're doing on weekly on sistersofearthandsea.blogspot.com. That's where we're writing all of this down at.
Okay, I'll post that on the chat here. Sistersoftheearthandsea.blogspot.com.
Nope. Sistersofearthandsea.blogspot.com.
Got it.
Leaving out the B, but we're doing this a lot. Lori's got one posted that she wrote right now. I'll be putting some on. Kathy will be putting some on. We're pretty excited about what is coming up for all of us and what they keep feeding us every time we get together and really work this at, with the Akashic Records and just showing us that it is a cycle, and they give it. They keep giving us new hints and new hints every time, and we're it's blowing our mind most of the time, but we really love it. And it is something that we're really excited to do and really excited to share with everybody. And that's why this stuff is not going in a book which anybody needs to buy. They can get it for free on Blogspot.
Nice.
That's so important to share this information for free.
It's happening so fast
that we just have to put it out.
All right. I'll make sure that I've made sure that it's been posted in the chat room and on the show page for
Yay.
You.
Very exciting.
Exciting.
Because we're just so excited to share this with everybody. And God, we just thank you guys for letting us share it with your audience, because we're blown away by it, yet we're so excited by it. And like I said, sometimes we might stumble over our words because it is pretty mind-blowing for us sometimes. We can't quite wrap our brain around it at the moment.
Yeah.
And
we
like it.
did a good job.
And, you know, if anybody has any questions for us, we'd be glad to take them. And if they can send that to us on our website at sistersofearthandsea.com and just do contact us and send us any questions that they may have, we have no problem with that.
Okay.
We can do personal questions because we're not in your records. We're in the Earth's records.
Okay.
Lindsay wanted to know about the Oracle cards and when she could get the Earth Oracle cards.
Actually, they are at publishing and editing right now, so give us a couple months. You can always check our website. Obviously, as soon as they come out, they will be bam on our website, and I'm sure we'll write a blog. We'll interrupt to write a blog. They're out. But they're in editing and publishing right now, so not everything moves as fast as we want it to move sometimes.
Are you putting this into the networks on Facebook and Twitter?
We do not do Twitter, but we do Facebook. And you can get
and
us
can
at
they
Facebook
find
at SisEarthandSea.
Okay. So you're Sisters of the Earth and Sea on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and
you
do
can get us on Facebook. We don't tweet. We're too slow to tweet. We're sorry. We don't tweet.
Okay.
We do Facebook and the blog. And then Kathy has her website at toknowyourself.com.
All right.
But also on our Sisters of Earth and Sea blogspot, Kathy is on that as well. You can get in touch with any of us on any of those sites.
All righty. Okay, I'm down to like 2 minutes here, so let me get the rest of it in. Also, ladies, Lindsay Evans says that she misses you guys. And I want to remind everybody that sometime this month they can go over to purchase directly at daughtersofisis.com. And don't forget to visit the I Love Nicole show. Nick, give out your call letters there.
Yeah, it's ilovenicoleshow.com, and we have 3 episodes up, and a new one should be up in a couple weeks with Issa the Psychic. So, yeah, check it out.
Okay.
And I'm really sorry that my phone died, but I want to thank you both for having us on tonight.
Thank you.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you for coming on, and I hope to have you back in the near future.
We love you, ladies. Keep up the good work.
You.
Keep your great work.
Okay. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Blessings to everyone who was listening and to you, ladies.
Yeah.
That is it for the Consciousness Shift this evening. I'm Gwen, and Nicole is with me. The Sisters of the Earth and Sea and their friend Kathy have been with us this evening. Tune in next Thursday evening for the Consciousness Shift, and look for postings on Facebook, Twitter, and our page on Blog Talk Radio for next week's guest. Thank you so much. I guess that's it, fellas.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see you later.
Okay, thanks, ladies. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Nicole,
yes,
thank you, Gwen.
Thank you
it was
so
wonderful.
Much. Thank you. Good night, ladies.
We will talk to you soon.
It was a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much for coming
okay.
on. And exciting stuff for you guys.
It is. It's been just too much fun, but mind-blowing.
You can ask questions, and we will talk to them.
Nice.
You will, if people ask, you know, we're still recording, we're just not live anymore. If you want to give information, for, you know, that they can ask questions on the blog, can they do that?
Yes, they can. There is a place on the blog where they can comment what we've actually said. If you have any questions, such as how you had about what was going on with Mother Earth right now, if you have any questions, as long as it's not personal questions, but it's a universal question. The one that I'm going to delve into, it's, I have not told the two girls yet, is what is hell? And why are they keep using the word hell, and I need to know what hell is. So I'm going to go up and talk to the masters and find out what the hell is.
Okay.
What the hell is hell?
Okay. Great.
But it's, you know, just...
All righty. So
that's
information that people can use. They can go to... Sisters of the Earth and Sea blog and post questions in the comment if they're universal. Okay,
yes,
ladies.
And also
please.
On our website, if they get on our website, they can do it there too. It's, we have no problems with that, just as long as it's not personal, but universal.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Okay, then. Nick, thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
All righty, ladies. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye, guys. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.